All right, we're beginning here on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, about a third of the way down the daf by the two dots. Gemara here is describing the latter half of our Mishnah, where Rav Matya ben Charash explains that he thinks that you can also drink things on Shabbat in order to cure whatever hurts in your throat. So Rabbi Yochanan chash bitzipidna. He had this scurvy, something that begins in your mouth and your gums, moves down to your throat, and then eventually to the intestines. Something that, in the end, has the possible impact of being fatal, and therefore is considered to be sakana nefashot, even though it starts out as being something very small. Zal gaba dahahi mochonita. He went to this matron, this woman, who was also a doctor, in a sense, and she had some medicinal cures that worked for this. Avdele milto, chamsho umale shabto. She made for him the medicine to take for Thursday and Friday, Erev Shabbat. Amrala b'Shabbat mai. She says, what about on Shabbat? Do I need to take it? Amrala lo tzarich, you don't need it. You're done. Thursday, Friday, that was sufficient. You're all set up now. Eat matzrich no mai. If I need it, what am I going to do? So amrala ishtabali take a shvua delo magalit, that you will not reveal it. So now the girsa of the Bach is a little different here, so we'll follow the girsa of the Bach. So I'm like, ishtabali lelukadi Israel delo magalit, take a shvua in the name of Hashem that you will not reveal it. Ishtabala lelukadi Israel, he took a shvua to Elukai Israel lo magalina, I will not reveal it. Then galiyoli, so she revealed it to him and told him exactly what the ingredients were, what the medicine was. Then, nafak darsha bepirka. He went out, and was doresh at that Shabbat in the drasha to tell everybody what the medicinal cure was. I says, vayish tabalo. Didn't he take a shvua that he wasn't going to reveal it? It says, lukad Yisrael lo magalina. Halomo Yisrael magalina. Said, you weren't medayek in what I said. He took a shvua that he would not reveal it to God. But to Bnei Yisrael, he will reveal it. I says, vayika chilul Hashem. Okay, so fine. Even take in the words. What about the Chilul Hashem aspect of it? The Megali Lo Amikaro. He told her right away that this is what he meant, and therefore he was going to reveal it later on. Still, I'm not sure how that overcomes the problem exactly, even though he informed her that his Shavua wasn't the real Shavua, because once she already revealed the ingredients to him, she can't take that back. So still a little bit of an underhanded method to get the information. But in the end, I think Rabbi Yochanan really felt that this was a sakanat nefashot. Therefore, her withholding the information was improper. She wasn't giving the people the cure to some sickness that everybody needed, and she's holding on to it and causing people to pay for it. Meantime, if he can extract it from her, he can save people's lives, because people can't afford it. They don't know to get this. See, I think he felt justified in doing this, even though maybe the means were not the best of means. I think he thinks that the end justifies the means over here. My Avdalei. So what is this cure? What was this secret recipe that she had that she revealed to him? So Amar Ravacha Brei de Ravami, Meseor Shemen Zayit Umelach, the water of a leavening agent, Shemen Zayit, olive oil, and salt. V'yemamar Seor Gufei, not the water of the leavening agent, but the leavening agent itself. Shemen Zayit, olive oil, Umelach. Ravashi Amar, Mishcho de Gadfo de Avzo, the fat that comes out of the wing of a goose, inside of the bone, at the edge of the wing of the goose, there's oil on there that you have to get to. Amar Abai, Ana Avde de Kulo, Vloid Tzai. Says, I tried all of this, nothing worked. Ad Amar Li Ahutayo, until I found this Arab merchant that told me what to do. Aiti Kashiata de Zeta, he brought olive pits, Delo Malu Tilta, that were only a third ripe, v'kalinu benura, and you roast them or burn them in the fire. Now, this word here, it's interesting. The way that a lot of people read it is amara chadata, a new rake, a new hoe that you burnt. They use that wood to burn it with. That's one way to read it. If you look in Rashi and Zvachim, in Kuftet Zayin Amud Bet, Rashi and Zvachim actually translated as Imra Charato, and over there he says that it is a flint stone. It's a flint stone that starts a fire. So it says that you create the fire with the flint stone. So that would what it would mean over here. Imra Charato. That's what Rashi says in Zvachim. Over here, Rashi translates it possibly a little differently. But over there, that's what he suggests. Over here, not clear what he is suggesting. So either it's a flint stone or it's a rake or a hoe, but you're talking about the wood of this to burn it with. Va'advik bekache dare, and you should place it on the lower gums. Avdi hachi, I did this vitzai, and it sure enough, it brought me the cure that I needed. Mimai havo, Well, let's take a step back. What causes it? This sapidno, instead of trying to cure it, let's try some preventative measures. So he says, mi chamimi dechite, for meaning hot wheat bread, bread that's way too hot, umishure kasa d'arsenal, and the residuals of the fish hash, as Rashi says, shure here was that it was left overnight, so that fish hash that was left overnight, umay simane, how do you know that you have it? What are the symptoms so that you know that you have this? Kadrami mide bikache, he puts something onto his teeth, and then he sees atadami beidari, he sees blood from his gums. So his gums bleed very easily after he eat something or something gets caught between his teeth and his gums bleed very easily. So that's a symptom. Again, the preventative measure, the Gemara says here, it's caused by eating the bread that is way too hot or from the leftover overnight fish hash. Again, the solution they have are these different medicinal approaches to dealing with it. And we have here three different approaches that were used in terms of curing it. Rabbi Yochanan ki chash v'tzibidna ovad hochi b'shabto. If he had this problem, he would do it even on Shabbat. I mean that he would make this medicinal cure on Shabbat and take it on Shabbat. Vitze, and he got better. Rabbi Yochanan eche ovad hochi. How did he do this? It's Shabbat. How is he making medicines on Shabbat? How is he taking medicines on Shabbat? Arm of Nachman b'yitzok shani tzibidna ho matcho b'peh. So this is what I told you earlier, that tzibidna starts in the mouth, but then it moves down, it progresses into the intestines and can be sakanah feshon, it can be fatal. And so because of that, you're allowed to take preventative measures up front, even though up front there is no sakanah feshon. But to prevent it from reaching the point of sakanat nefashot, you can intercede even on Shabbat. Amalei Rabbi Chia bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan Kiman. Who do you hold like that you can do this? He says, Ki Rabbi Matyo ben Charash. This is Rabbi Matyo ben Charash of our Mishnah, Damar. Achoshesh bepiv, matilu nosam b'Shabbat. Someone who has a pain in their mouth, then they're allowed to deal with it on Shabbat. So of course here, the pain in the mouth is not fatal in and of itself. Question is, what will it progress to? And so you see here, Rav Matyo ben Charash permits you in the Mishnah to address it on Shabbat, even though this is not fatal immediately. So I say because on this and not the other. Which means that Rabbi Yochanan says, the Chachamim who argue on Rav Matyo ben Charash say in our Mishnah they only argue on the issue of the wild dog, the rabid dog that bites, whether you can eat the liver or the fats of the liver, and or as a cure. Rav Matyo ben Charash said yes. Chachamim said no. Chachamim say that it's not an efficacious or a proven medicinal cure, and therefore you can't take it. Rabbi Matyo ben Charash says that you can take it, whether he believed it was efficacious or he believed that since all the people were using it, there must be something to it, and he believes that you can take it. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the Chachamim argue there. They do not argue on his second statement, which is taking the medicine on Shabbat, for the pain that you feel in your mouth or in your throat. So lema misayile, let us say that we have a brayta that helps this along. Mishach zo yirakon, someone who has jaundice, machil nonto basar chamor, you're allowed to feed him donkey meat. Mishnashcho kelev shote, someone who gets bitten by a rabid dog, machil nonto mechatzer kavid shelo. This is Rav Matyo ben Charash, you feed him the liver or the fats of the liver. Vechoshesh pipiv matil nosam b'shabbat, divir Rav Matyo ben Charash. So you have three things that he suggests over here. Two of them we've seen in our Mishnah, and there's a third one that's added here, which is Yirakon. Chachamim Armim, Be'elu Ein Behem Mishum Refuah. These, they have no medicinal cure to them. So Be'elu Lemutei Mai. What does it mean, these? These, and what are they excluding? They're saying these as opposed to what? Now, my love, the mute sam. What are they saying? These, meaning that the first two items in the bright, they disagree with, versus the last thing, which one they do agree with it. Below, the mute mekizin dan the surumki. That it comes to exclude another case, which is a fourth case, which is that you're allowed to let blood for the surumki, which is asphyxiation. Look in Rashi, he calls it in French, estrangulation. So something that's a choking hazard or something that causes the inability to breathe, and they thought that bloodletting would relieve that. So the Chachamim agree in that case that you're allowed to do it. So Hachanami Mistavra, that makes sense. Titania, because I have another writer. Shlosha Dvarim Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi Shishamim Mishum Rav Matyo ben Charash. So you have three items which Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi brings the name Rav Matyo ben Charash. Mekizim Dam Nesoronki, that's what we just mentioned. Mekizim Dam Nesoronki b'Shabbat, you'll have to let blood for this asphyxiation problem on Shabbat. Mishnah Shcho Kelev Shoteh, a rabid dog that bites an individual, Machinoto Mechatzer Kaved Shlo, feed him from the liver fat. Choshesh Bepiv Matil No Sam Beshabbat. So here we have three items. They exchange the Yerakon over here for the Mekiz Dam. And again, Machamir Min Be'elu Ein Behem Mishim Rufa. So again, here, what does it say? Be'elu Lumutei Mai. These come to exclude what? My love, Atarte Bachraito. That's talking about the latter two that are problematic. And the first one that they do agree with him about, which is the Mekizin Dam Lesoronki, they will agree. So now the Tosafa raises the question about why does the Gemara think that this is a better Braita than the previous Braita? All of a sudden over here, the Gemara says, oh, Achanami Mistavra. This makes a lot of sense because I have a Braita. All the Braita does is bring another three items and it says, okay, we'll exclude two and include one. Why is this Braita any better than the first Braita? For that reason, the Riva wanted to take out the girsa of Hakanami Mistabra. Hakanami Mistabra suggests that the second Braita is better than the first Braita. Over here, they just have two Braita. They look exactly alike. Tosafot, in the end, defends the girsa that we have and says, because in the first Braita, the Gemara says, Be'elu means that these they disagree with, but that comes to exclude something. And the something is not even found in the Braita. So he says, that's much more of a precarious position to suggest that Chamim are saying, oh, we disagree on these, but we agree on something that's not written in the Braita. In the second Braita, this Dam Soronki is written. So that is a proof that Be'elu could mean that. That it could mean that they agree with these two items, and they exclude this one item, because now it's found in the second Braita. That's why the Gemara feels the second Braita is a support to the reading of the first Braita as being excluding Dam Soronki. So Gemara says, no, why do you have to say that? Atarti Dereisha, Kamaita, go on the first two. Ulum Ute Seifa, we'll go on the first two. And then that'll exclude the Seifa, which is the case of the drink for the mouth. You have the possibility that the Chachamim agree in one of those two cases. Either the Chachamim agree to him with regards to Dam Soronki, or they agree with Ramacha Ben Chorash with regards to the Sam for his throat. So it's one of those two items that they agree with. So Tashma. We'll see which one it is. Datani Rabba Bar Shmuel, Ubra Shiricha. If a fetus, a pregnant woman with a fetus, smells something, Machilin Otach Teshuv Nafsha. We feed her until she comes back. Whoever is bitten by a rabid dog, we feed him from the liver fat. So again, these three items are presented by Ramachi Ben Charash. And this one, velo be'acheret. And this one, but not others. Bezu, ahai. And which one is that going on? Ilei ma ubra. It's going to ubra pshita. That, you don't need to tell me that Chachamim agree. Because ubra mi'ika l'man damar delo. There's no dissenting opinion. When it comes to an ubar and a pregnant woman, we have no dissenting opinion that says you don't feed her. That, there's no machloket about. Elala, vasam. So therefore, they say, basam, meaning bezu, I agree with you, ba'acheret, I don't agree with you. Shmamino, from that, it's conclusive that the Chachamim agree with Rav Machi Ben Chorash when it comes to the sam for piv, for putting in the medicine for your mouth or for your sore throat because of the problem of progression from there to a possibility of it being a fatal disease. And so therefore, they agree with him. So the one place they disagree with him is the kelev shoteh. So they agree by the Ubra, or because we know that already from the Mishnah. They agree with him with regards to the Sam Piv. On Shabbat, they disagree with regards to the Kelev Shoteh. Rav Ashi Amar, Matnita Nami Deiko. Our Mishnah's Miduyak like that. Because it says, Va'od Amar Rav Machi Ben Charash. It says, Rav Machi Ben Charash also said this item, which is a Choshesh Piv, Matil Bepiv, Matil in Lo Sam B'Shabbat. V'lo Pligi Rabbanon Alei. And we don't find the Rabbanon arguing on that latter half of our Mishnah. Vimito, if they argue in the latter half of the Mishnah, then the pliga rabbanon alei the arvinu v'litninu v'litfligu rabbanon the seifa. Then connect the two cases. Put the case of the kelev shoteh and the case of achoshesh bepiv. Put them together in a single unit, and then bring the position of the chachamim that disagree. The fact that they bring the chachamim's disagreement or dissent with regards to kelev shoteh, and then move on to Rav Machi Ben Charash's opinion without any dissent from the chachamim, shma miro, that they only disagree with the kelev shoteh, and they agree to his position with regards to achoshesh bepiv, which again is our general approach to sickness on Shabbat, which is that if it's something that we can possibly, even in a remote sense, become fatal, then we treat it. I mentioned before, strep throat, something that has a remote, a low percentage chance that it becomes something fatal, but we treat it on Shabbat because we don't take any chances when it comes to sakanat nifashot. And therefore, we're, as we said before, mekil in it's like an atav hashok regards the Shabbat, and we're machmir in pikuach nefesh to make sure that even if there's a remote chance of problems on Shabbat, we treat it. And we're going to see ahead in the Gemara now that has a much more expansive view about what we do treat and how we treat based on the situation at hand. So now the Gemara says, Mipnei shesafek nefashotu. The Mishnah gives a reason. The reason you treat it is because it's safek nefashotu, and safek nefashotu is duchet Shabbat. The Gemara says, well, why do you need that? Anomaly to the Meimar. Why does the Mishnah have to say, because safek nefashotu duchet Shabbat? That's obvious. We know that safek nefashotu is duchet Shabbat. Why is the Mishnah bringing that additional phrase? It seems like it's redundant, extraneous. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, lo safek Shabbat zu bilvad, amru elo afilu safek Shabbat acheret. This is very interesting. So the Gemara says you could treat something on this Shabbat in order to protect him for the following Shabbat. For instance, if you did not treat it this Shabbat, it would not be dangerous to him in terms of this Shabbat. But it would have long-ranging implications, which is that it would be problematic by the next Shabbat. It would already be problematic. So you're allowed to violate the Shabbat now in order to have that protective side to it in the future. Hechidomi, what's the case? Gedon, damdu al tamnayo yome. He said he's going to live for 8 days. Biyomakamo shavto. He said the first day is Shabbat. So he's got 8 days to go. So if he doesn't take the medicine today, he's not going to pass away. We know that he has 8 days left. That's what they've assessed him for. So madu tamli akev ad orto. So just wait until Motzei Shabbat and take the medicine then. Kechelo denechelolei trei shavto. Because then you're going to be mechalel two Shabbatot. You're going to be, because 8 days, if it's Shabbat now, the first Shabbat and the last Shabbat are going to be in those 8 days. Why be mechalel Shabbat? He's going to live today no matter what. That's not going to be affected by the way that he takes the medicine. Now, the only question is, further on down the line. So, Gamash Malon, that's exactly what we do. We treat him on this Shabbat, despite the fact that for this Shabbat, there's no real impact, but there are long-ranging implications. Again, we look at the bigger picture, and we say, because of the long-ranging implications, you're allowed to be mechalel Shabbat now, even though the danger is not imminent on the day of Shabbat, but the possibility of danger in the future is enough to be mechalel Shabbat. Tam yinami ochi v'breita that supports that. Mechamin chamin l'chole b'Shabbat. Allowed to heat up hot water for chole b'Shabbat. Ben l'ashkoto, ben l'chavroto. Whether that is to give him to drink, or that's to refresh him, to bathe him. V'lo Shabbat zubil v'aramru. Elo l'Shabbat acheret. Not only for this Shabbat, but even for subsequent Shabbatot. We don't say, okay, let's see, you know, let's see how he progresses. Let's wait and see if he feels a little better. You do it right away. You don't ask questions. You don't wait. You don't hesitate. Safek Shabbat clears Shabbat out of the way. Not only this Shabbat, but even for future ramifications. Velo ayudei putiim, which probably is the wrong gear, so it should be velo ayudei ktanim, el ayudei gdolei Yisrael. You do not have this chilul Shabbat be done by non-Jews, or by ktanim, which the assumption would be that there's a lower babeira here, ktanim, who are not bar onshim or bar chiyuva, nechrim, who are not commanded on Shabbat, it's only Yisrael de Rabbanan of Amir the Akum. But rather, Yudolei Yisrael have to come in and do it. Vein omrim yasud varim alalo lo api nashim velo api kutim alo mitztarfim ledat acheret. Alright, I'm going to leave the second piece of this for a second. We'll deal with the first piece. Alright, the first piece is that we tell the Yudolei Yisrael to get involved here because there's a natural hesitation for people to do Mechalel Shabbat to take care of the Cholim. They have to show by example that we are Doche Shabbat. Especially with the belief of the Tzdukim. At that time, the Tzdukim believed that you couldn't override Shabbat for anything. If you read in the story of Hanukkah, in the Sefer Maccabim, they weren't willing to fight on Shabbat because it was Shabbat, and they were getting killed because every Shabbat came around, they put down their weapons, they weren't fighting. You see that there was this type of mindset that Shabbat overrides, and we do nothing. So it's important that the Gedolei Yisrael step up and show that in the cases of Safek Nefeshot, we are Michalel Shabbat. Now, many places, including our town here, have non-Jewish ambulance drivers sometimes on Shabbat. Why would you do that if this is what the prescription is, that Gedolei Yisrael do it? The reason to do that is because it helps you in situations where you have a question dealing with if it's a cholish yesh bo sakana or ein bo sakana. If it's a cholish yesh bo sakana, there's no question that you can have a Jewish driver, you can have Gedolei Yisrael do it, you get involved right away. Question is sometimes, it's borderline, and you don't know if it's a sakana or if it's ein bo sakana. If you have a non-Jewish driver, then you can be mekiel, because of cholish ein bo sakana, you're allowed to violate the rabbonans for If it's serious enough, he's nofel lemita, then you can violate Shabbat. So what it allows for, it gives more discretion to the doctors to make decisions to send them to the hospital or to make decisions that they would otherwise might hold back on because you have a Jewish driver. So that's why they use this, because it opens up a much broader spectrum of situations in which you can deal with. Not because it's better to use a non-Jew in a situation like this. Again, if it's clear that it's a kanat pashot, get in the car and you go. You take care of him. There's no cheshbon. It's a hutra Shabbat. We're going to see that in a second. Hutra Shabbat, the gabei sakanat nefashot. So that's not the problem. The problem is where you have choices. So the first case is, if I have choices and delaying will not cause a problem, we always say minimize the isur. That goes to pregnant women who have to get to the hospital. If you can, you know, especially in chutz la'aretz, it's true, where you can get a non-Jewish taxi driver, or you can get someone else to do it, or you have an ambulance to do it. There are reasons to have hasa'ot with non-Jewish drivers to do this because it's possible, and usually that type of situation, it's not 1 minute issue, it's usually, you know, an hour and 2 hours, so you have time to deal with it. Again, if there's no time to deal with it, you get in the car and you go. Problems come up later on. When you get to the hospital, what to do with the running cars, all these things, they present problems later on, which are easily prevented if you just prepare ahead of time. But here, the Gemara lays out, and I think the Briskers were very makbid on this, that the Gedolei Yisrael get involved in Sakanat Tefashot actively, and they personally be involved to demonstrate to the Am that we're machmir in Pikuach Nefesh. It's not a kula in Shabbos, it's a chumrah in Pikuach Nefesh. The second statement is a very problematic statement, which is, Einu Umrim Yisru Dvarim Alalu, Lo Pi Nashim Velo Pi Kutim, Aval Mitztarfim Ledat Acheret. We don't do this. We don't make these decisions regarding Shabbat, not by the women, and not by the Kutim. Of a mitzvah and a data cheret, they can be a additional opinion. Rashi over here sets up the case that you have three doctors saying the person does not need it. You have two doctors saying that they do need it. The woman can be mitzvah, for the kutu can be mitzvah to even it out. To make it that now there are three saying that they do need it. Either it's a tie now or they're going to follow the rove. The problem with Rashi's interpretation is that we saw already in the machloket between Rabbi Yanai and Mar Bar Avashi that they don't matter. Besakanat tefashot, they are not relevant. So why all of a sudden here do numbers become relevant? So you have to say in Rashi is that Rashi, when the Gemara moves on and we paskin like Mar Bar Avashi, at least according to those that say we paskin like Mar Bar Avashi, then we reject everything we said in Rabbi Yanai beforehand. And one of the things we said in Rabbi Yanai before is that they don't matter. But that was in the sheet of Rabbi Yanai. Maybe according to Mar Bar Avashi, the only thing that Mar Bar Avashi says is that the patient is paramount. He didn't say anything about the doctors. He just says the patient overrides everything. But the doctors, we go back to our standard view of what things are, and then deo do matter. That's what you have to say in Rashi. There are others who disagree. There are Rishonim who say, I don't understand, there's a stira here, and you can't read it that way. So some of them say that this is a case where the woman is the second opinion. Now there, we did say, even by Rabbi Yanai, we said, when do deo do matter? As long as you have two doctors saying that they need to eat. As soon as you reach Biki'in, as soon as you use a plurality of doctors and say that the person needs to eat on Yom Kippur, or we need to do this procedure, then we go ahead. Then numbers don't matter. But if you only have one doctor, then you do have an issue. So that's maybe over here, we're saying that the Isha can't be a single opinion, but she can be mitzaref to a doctor saying yes. Then if she says yes as well, that makes it two, and we use that as a reason to be Mechalel Shabbat or Mechalel Yom HaKippurim. So that's the way some of the other Rishonim read it, in order not to have a problem. There was an alternative girsa in the Gemara. You can see that over here. The Shinoi Nischot Barosh and the Beit Yosef, which is, Eino mim yasud varim alalu, lo. Now, the lo here was, al pi nashim. The girsa changed to say yes by nashim, velo al pi kutim. They had a different girsa that it was, women were accepted. And that is the day of some of the Rishonim. There's no reason to believe that a woman would not be accepted in this case. And she could be one of those opinions that's there. There is an alternative girsa that includes the women. The Rif also has the alternative girsa, but he has an interesting approach to this. And this is something that I mentioned before with the question in the shoot that we saw from Akiva Eger. The Gemara says here, "V'lo api nashim v'lo api kutim." That's only if they're in the negative. If they're saying they don't need it, we ignore their opinions. And we ignore the opinion of the Kuti, and we ignore the opinion of the women. Why? The Rif, he doesn't mention by the Kuti, he mentions it by the women, but it's true by Kutim also. The Gemara says in other places that when the Kutim were Mekabel a mitzvah that they did it even better than Yisrael. When they did a mitzvah, they did it to the fullest extent. And he says the same thing by Nashim. Nashim are very charid al dvar Hashem, and they, when they do a mitzvah, they're not willing to be Mechalel Shabbat, they're very makpid. So what we're afraid of is that they're going to be machmir in mitzvah Shabbos, and therefore, they're not going to allow for violations of Shabbat, despite the fact that the Cholet needs it. Again, that shoot that I told you from Akiva Eger, This young girl gets sick when she eats, and she's insisting to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. She says it's a mitzvah. She doesn't care that it's the health ramifications. She wants to do the mitzvah to Hashem. We have this concept, and he says, because of that, that's what the Gemara is after here. The women and kutim who are machmir in mitzvot, charet al dvar Hashem, we don't listen to them when they're speaking in the negative form. In the positive form, no problem, we'll listen to them. That's not a question. It's just in the negative form, we worry about their being too makpid and too machmir on the mitzvot, and therefore they're not going to give the dispensation that we need in this situation. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Mifachim pikuach nefesh b'Shabbat. We're allowed to take care of pikuach nefesh. Here, mifachim can mean either mifakeach over the pikuach nefesh, or it's like in our mission, mifachim et agal, which means you remove the collapsed building, the avalanche, in order to deal with these on Shabbat. Vazariz, harizim mishubach. The faster you do it, the better. Vein tziarech litov reshut mibeitin. This is not something you have to come and ask questions about. You act first, you can ask questions later. Ha ketzad, rati nokshna faliyam, he sees a young child that falls into the ocean. Pores mitzuda, umaleyu, takes a net, throws it into the ocean right away, and pulls it out. Vazariz, harizem mishubach. The faster you do it, the better. Vein tzarech litol reshut mibeitin, you don't need permission from beitin, v'afgav the katzayin kavre. Even though when you're bringing the net up, you can also capture fish. By putting the net in, a side effect of you doing this is that you can also bring up fish, along with the baby that's there. So there you're permitted to do it because you're doing the hatzil at the nefesh. Again, we don't ask Beit Din, we don't worry about the ramifications. You do as fast as possible. Rada tinok shenafal the boar. See, a tinok that falls into a boar. A boar over here is a cistern. It's likely that it has water in it, but probably not water deep enough now to drown the baby, because that's already what we were discussing in the yam. You do it with the boar. It falls into the boar. The boar has hevel, has water in it. It's dangerous. Uker chulia. You're allowed to break down the rim. If you have a cistern on the top, like, you know, the wells that you always see, the brickwork or the stonework that's around it, you can break that down to make it easier to reach down into the cistern to get the baby out. Umaleo, and take him out. Vazari, zari, mishubach, the faster you do it, the more alacrity you show in this matter, the better. Again, you don't need permission. Afagav, demetake, and darga. Even though now you're creating a, whether it's a staircase, a ladder, you're doing something that actually is an improvement in the cistern going forward. Despite that fact, we don't worry about it. You see there's a baby in a room, and all of a sudden the door closes, and it's going to lock on the baby, and the baby's stuck inside. Now you can't access the baby. Baby's stuck by itself. Shovra o motzio. You break the door down, and you take out the baby. One demonstrates alacrity here is praiseworthy. You don't have to ask permission from Beitin. Even though he wants to break it down, here there are two interpretations of what Bishifi are. Either he wants to break it down into splinters, use it as kindling later on. He wants the wood broken in this way. Or Bishifi is that he needs them for some sort of work that he's going to do. He needs a different size of board. And so there, if he intends it for that to be that way, it's also not problematic. Mechabin umafsikim ipnei adleika. You can extinguish or put up a fire line in front of a fire. The Shabbat. Vazariz areiz mishubach. Again, the zariz is praiseworthy. Vein zarech litomir roshumi beitin. You don't have to get permission from beitin. Va'afagav tekamen machich mikuche. Even though you are subduing the flames. But when you subdue the flames, you end up now with poles or a fire that you can cook on. So you're actually making something that is utility to it, for before, the fire was just dangerous. So in all these cases, what you see is, despite the fact that there is a side benefit from your performing the activity that is going to save the individual, nevertheless, we say, go ahead and do it. Don't worry. Betricha. We need all these cases. Diashmoinon yam. If you just told me about the ocean, mishum da'dahachi va'ochi azale. If you go and ask Beit Din, or if you go and try to check out, it's gone. All's lost. In the ocean, if you don't act quickly, it's gone. So you have to deal with it quickly. Aval boar, the boar, the baby can't go anywhere. He's stuck at the bottom of the cistern. You go and ask bait, then you come back. He's still going to be at the bottom of the cistern. I'm alone. So say maybe there you don't do it on your own. You have to go to bait. So that's why we need a viashminian boar. Tell me about the cistern. Mishum dekam mivat. Baby is scared. It's in a difficult situation. It's in an uncomfortable situation. Down at the bottom of a boar, there's nobody there. Could be bad air, as the Gemara says, in many places you have hevel. Avam ne'lala delet. You know what? The door closed on it. Efshar diyoti v'agisa. Shabish lei b'mgozi. Let him sit on the other side and you throw some nuts under the door to him. And then the baby would be happy. So you can keep on placated for the time being. They're not in a quote-unquote dangerous situation. So maybe not. So tzricha, we say that in each of these instances, we allow you to act, despite the fact that maybe you could say that we could placate it, we could do it in a lesser manner. We say, go ahead and do it. You're right. If you started a vikas chiddush, then everything else should have been obvious afterwards. That's true, right? Because they only did the tzricha in one direction. Tosafot has something interesting over here. He says, mechavinu mafsikin, glad to extinguish the fire. And you're allowed to put up a fire line. Tosafot says, what's the question? If you can extinguish the fire, of course you can put up a fire line. So Tosafot has to come up with a reason why that's a bigger chiddush. So he says, because even though it's a possibility that the fire line may not work, or by the time you get the fire line in place, it could have stopped, we still allow you to violate Shabbat, bring things from Rishut HaRabim, in order to be mafsik. So that's the chiddush. By mechaveh, you know for sure that you're going to extinguish the flame, you're going to succeed, or hopefully you'll succeed. By mafsik, you're taking a risk. He says you're allowed to take that risk and violate Shabbat. Mechabin or mafsikin. You're allowed to extinguish a fire or put up a fire line. Lomali. What's the question here? Da'afilo lechatzer acheret. Even if it is to stop the fire from spreading to a different chatzer. The problem is not an immediate issue in the chatzer that it's in, but rather you're doing it to protect its spreading to the next chatzer. So that we allow you to do because of the extended danger that can come. Fire would spread to the additional area. And so because of that, we say, go ahead and extinguish it so it doesn't spread. So if the family or the people are found in the next area and the fire's over here, we extinguish it to protect those people. Again, in their day for sure, where the houses were on top of each other and attached to each other, that was clearly true. Today, man, it's more questionable depending on the distance between the houses and the ability of the fire to spread. But in general, it turns out that if fire is left alone, that generally it is dangerous to leave it because it has ramifications in terms of exploding gas, of smoke, and the possibility of wind spreading the fire. So we generally take a machmir approach to this and we extinguish it in all cases. But again, if it's a house that is a lone house in the middle of nowhere and it affects nobody and everybody's out of there, then you can't extinguish a fire simply for the possessions inside. There has to be some sort of possible danger that would extend from it if the fire continued. So that's when we have permission to extinguish it. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo lachu b'pikuach nefesh achar rov. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, majority is not relevant. Hechidami, what's the case? So now, if you have a case where you have 9 Jews and 1 kuti, and then something collapsed on them, that's a rov. So what's the question there? In that case, we have no question that we deal with it because the rov is Yisrael. So what are you going to suggest? Ela palga u palga, 50-50. 50% Jews, 50% non-Jews. Safek nefashot lakel. That's a real safek. And then by safek nefashot, we already said that we are lenient. Safek is 50-50. If it's a safek, we go in. Ela de'ika tisha kutiim v'Yisrael achad. There's 9 kutiim and 1 Yisrael here. So my says, hanami pshita. That's also pshita. Da'avalei kavua. This is a principle in rov. That is, that rov only applies to things that are poresh min harov. Things that break away from the majority. So if you have a pool of, whether it's individuals or you have a pool of items, and then one item or one individual leaves the pool, then we say, kol de parish, miruba parish. That whoever left there, we assume that whatever left came out of the rov. But when they're stationary, when they are together, we have a principle that kol kavua kemechsal mechsadami. Anything that is stationary has a din like being 50-50. That we don't say that the rov is matters when they are in place. The rov only matters when one individual item leaves the totality that's there. As long as they're still together in their initial stage, we say, kol kavua kemechsal mechsadami. Dealt with this in the past. There's not necessarily a logical argument for this. It's mostly a gzeirat hakatuv that it is this way. Rav Chanan Wasserman, another place in Baba Batra, also deals with these questions of why this is the case, but most of the conclusions are that it is a gzeirat hakatuv, and it's not necessarily a logical argument as to why it should be this way. The Gemara says, lo, tzricha de parush de chatzer acheret. Again, left, there was a group of these individuals, 9 kutiim, 1 Israel, and then one of them left to the next area. And that's where the collapse happened, or where the problem took place. Maudutema, called the parish Maruba parish. So if we assume who is the individual that left this group and went to the next chatzer, likelihood is that it's a kuti. 9 kutiim, 1 Israel, called the parish Maruba parish, kamash balon, tolo achubi puach nefesh acharov. We don't consider that in this situation. And then we dig down to free the individual because we just don't know who is there. Ini, is that really true? V'amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tisha kutiim v'Yisrael achad, v'oto chatzer mefachim, v'chatzer acheret, ein mefachim. So if it's in that chatzer, then we do uncover them. Chatzer acheret, if they move to another chatzer, then emefachim. Makes it sound that we do go after the rov. If they're in the chatzer there, then it's kavua, kamexa, mexa, we uncover them. Figure out who's there. If they moved over to a new chatzer, then we don't say, go ahead and do it. We say, kol du parish, miruba kol parish. We assume that it is somebody we don't need to save. It says, lokasha, hadu parish kulu, hadu parish miktsaitayu. Depends how many people moved over to the next chatzer. If they all moved over to the next chatzer, then we go ahead and we uncover them. We uncover them because you're back to mechta al mechta. If one of them goes over to the next chatzer, then we don't, because we say, kol du parish, miruba kol parish. Tosfot asks the obvious question. He says, if everybody moves over to the new chatzer, then you're back to ground zero. So that can't be the case. He says, near the farish, farish kulu the chatzer acheret v'yatsu gam misham. Everybody moved to the next chatzer, and then they left. But then some people were left behind. And that's the safek there. So there, where everybody moved to the second chatzer, and then they left from that second chatzer, over there, we now have to figure out, whoever's left behind, how do we deal with them? Whereas, how did the parush miktsatayu shalobesh mikan no toch chatzer acheret ele achad? When a case where it's parush, we say it's one person that went there. In case of one person, you could say it's not. So Talasubot says, the case going to another chatzer is when they all moved there and then a number of them left. So we don't know who was behind and therefore we dig out. In case where one individual went to the next side, we assume they called the parush, meruba ka parish. Now the Gemara says, umi amar shmo hachi. Did Shmuel really say this, that we don't go after the rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh? V'atanan, the Mishnah, matzaba tinok mushlach. Find an abandoned baby. Find an abandoned baby in the city. More common occurrence in their time, especially in the Greek times, it was very common. But even the Roman times, abandoned babies happened very often. Imrov kutiim kuti. If the rov of the city is a non-Jewish city, the assumption is that the baby is not Jewish. Imrov Yisrael. If the majority of the city is a Jewish city, then Israel, we assume that it's Israel. Mechta, mechta, Israel. If it's a half-half, 50-50, then we assume that it's Israel. Ramarab, lo shanu lahachayoto. That's to provide for him. Aval yachso lo. But for Yichus, that's not the case. So, in terms of Rov Israel, there is no question that he is a din of Israel. And you have to take care of him. You take care of the baby, there's an obligation to take care of a Jew. Therefore, you take care of him. Okay, that's enough to be l'chay chayoto. But in terms of yichus, we need trei rube. In terms of yichus, we know that from the Gemara Ketubot, that we need two roves to make it that your yichus stays in place or stays intact. So either you only have one rove Yisrael. Tosfot points out later that in terms of taking the baby, either way, we're going to have to be l'chay chayoto. Depends the reason why. One is because you're obligated. The other one is b'pnei eva, b'pnei darchei shalom. So we're going to have to take care of the other baby as well. Now, Ushmol Amar, the Fakeach, Alav Etagal. So now what Shmuel is suggesting over here is Rov Yisrael. So Rav says that's a dinin, the Hachayoto, as to whether we have to support him, we have to take care of this baby. Now for Yichus. Shmuel comes along and says, no. You know what the reason for that is? It's about Pikuach Hagal. She makes it sound like he thinks that you only have to be Mefeach Hagal when it's a Rov Yisrael. That means that Shmuel is going after the Rov when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh. He says, no. Kitmar de Shmuel Aresha Yitmar. No, Shmuel is going on the Resha. Imrov Kutiim Kuti. He's going on that piece. That piece that says that if it's a robe of Kutiim, we assume the baby's a Kuti. On that he says, Mefakeach Alevet Tagal. You still are Mefakeach Tagal. We don't worry about that. You don't go after the robe here, and you're Mefakeach Tagal no matter what in this situation. So if you have such a baby that was found, and he grows up, then you're mefakech at the gal. We assume no matter what the situation was when you found this baby, you go after them because ain't olchim acharov. Amar Shmuel ulian pikuach nefesh ain't okay. And again, when it comes to pikuach nefesh ain't okay, because rov doesn't matter, because even berov kutim we're mefakechim at the gal, and therefore by pikuach nefesh we don't consider rov. Shmuel says im rov kutim kuti lamai hilchata. According to Shmuel in the Mishnah, when does Rov Kutim make him into a Kuti? When does that ever matter? Any matter that's Pikuach Nefesh, we're going to allow you to do. And as Rashi says over here, Kevin Amar Mefachim Alav, Kol Shekain the Mitzvah L'Hachayoto. Rashi says, well, what about L'Hachayoto? That makes a difference. So Rashi says it's obvious, according to Shmuel, that you would have to take care of this baby. If you have to take off a gal from on top of him and protect him in a case of Pikuach Nefesh, then certainly you have to take care of the baby that's abandoned there to for survival. So that's obvious. So that's what the Gemara is asking here. What halacha does this have relevance for in terms of Shmuel? Amara papa, l'achilo nevelot. Can you feed him nevelot? Are you allowed to give him non-kosher food until he reaches the age of bar mitzvah? and he's either mekabel the mitzvot or he's mitgayer, because then we'll know for sure that he is Jewish. But can you feed him nevelot until that point in time? So if it's a Rov Yisrael, the city's Rov Yisrael, no. If it's Maxa, no. If it's Rov Kutim, then you can't feed him the velo till he reaches the age of bar mitzvah, and he accepts his own mitzvah. At that point, then he becomes a ger, because then for sure he's no longer a non-Jew. But until that point in time, you can feed him the velo under the assumption of Rov that he is a non-Jew. Im Rov Yisrael, Yisrael, the Mai Hilchoto. If it's a Rov Yisrael, Yisrael, the Mai Hilchoto, what's the halacha in this case? So the Gemara says, "Lachzir lo avedato," to return him in aveda. You only have an obligation to be machzir aveda to a Jew. So if it's Rov Yisrael, he's classified as Yisrael, that gives you the permission to give him back an aveda. As Tosfos points out, the truth is that it could be the reverse, which is they could have used this as the first answer, which is you're not allowed to return the aveda if he is a kuti. But the Gemara wants to come up with a chiddush in each classification, so they didn't do that. Number two is, Tosfot says that you can't say that the reason here is l'hachayoto. That can't be the reason. Rashi says the reason is because if he says you can do pikuach nefesh, then you have to be l'hachayoto. Tosfot says, even though in general Rishmu has a position that ain't olchim b'mamon achar rov, mamon does not have a din of rov. That's a machloket Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara of Baba Kamo, and in Baba Batra, whether you're olchim b'mamon achar rov. And there, Shmuel is of the opinion that ain't olchim achar rov when it comes to mamon. So how come over here all of a sudden you are holy achar rov? You're machzir aveda up here, rov here. You are lachachayoto. All these things you're using rov for, they have monetary implications. So Tosafot says, because it depends where the starting point is. If you gain something from balim, it's an exchange between two individuals, then you do have a din of ain't olchim mamon achar rov. But if here, where you're coming to something that is coming to your possession through hefker, then we don't have this din of ein olchim achar rov by mamon. Because the rov here is not determinant between two parties, but rather your interaction with this single individual. And over there, we're willing to say olchim b'mamon achar harov. In addition, he says, Rashi didn't need that reasoning, that kuach nefesh would take care of him, certainly the achayoto would take care of him, because if you're allowed to be mefarnesim, it says there, aniyei akumim and aniyei somi p'nei tarchei shalom, you have to support the poor people, the non-Jews, and the Jews together because of the Darchei Shalom. Certainly the Hachayoto has that same din. So because over there, you're going to have to be the Hachayoto either way. So that can't be the differentiating factor. Mechza, Mechza, Yisrael. What the fact that 50-50 is Yisrael, the Mayi Hochota? Eim Amarish Lokish, Lenizakin. It has to do with damages. Why is that? Echidami. Ineima, because there's a rule in Baba Kama with regards to the Shor Nechrid, that damages a Shor Yisrael has to play Nezek Shalem all the time. A Shor of a Jew that damages a Shor Nechrid does not have to pay. And a Shor Yisrael that damages another Shor Yisrael pays Chatsi for Tam and full for Muad. I'm not going to deal with the ramifications of that. That's in the Gemara and Baba Kam we've dealt with in the past. About who this applies to and what is it, what's the meaning of this. But here, Inema de Nachay Tor Di Dan Le Tor Di Dei. If the case was that our Shor damages the Shor of this individual as a Safek, Naiti Rayo of Inishko. Why should we pay him? Because let him prove that he's a Jew and then he can get paid. Otherwise, there's no reason to pay him. So that his shore did the damage. So Palgo Yavle, he'll pay like a short tam. He'll say, I'm Israel, I'll pay short tam, I'll pay 50%. Irach Palga, namele, Aiti Rayo, the Lav Israel and Avishko. Says the other 50%, you prove that I'm not Jewish. And therefore, you'll get your other 50%. I'll pay like a Nachri and not like a Jew. Because the burden of proof has shifted to the other side. And therefore, he's granted position as being a Jew and not as a Nachri. What's interesting here is the Ri tries to give a logic. Why is it that by Bikuach HaGal with Enochim Achar HaRov? He says over here, Mishum Dechtiv B'chai Behem V'lo Shiyimot Behem Shelo Yuchol Avo B'shum Inyan Lidei Mitat Yisrael. B'chai Behem is a blanket heter that says that the mitzvot of the Torah should never bring to a death. That means that it's irrespective of the circumstance or situation. If by abiding by a mitzvah could lead to a death, then the mitzvah is waived. So that would mean that rov doesn't matter anymore, because if there's a possibility by being shomer or keeping this mitzvah, the outcome will be that someone passed away or something fatal happened, then you did the wrong thing. The Chai Behem gives you permission to violate the mitzvot as long as there's a possibility of saving any Jew.
Just the mere possibility of saving someone is enough to violate the mitzvah. You don't have to be guided by the normal principles of halacha, of rov, and so on and so forth, because Torah gives you this overarching theme, which is v'chai b'hem, to live. To live is so paramount. Life is so paramount that the mitzvot don't stand in the way, no matter what the circumstance is and what the safek is. And that's why we are machmir in pikuach nefesh for that reason, because of this idea of how paramount life is, and we are willing to do anything to save a life. And that's why we also demand of the Gdolei Yisrael to get involved. That even in a case where Nachrim can do it, the Gdolei Yisrael should get involved to show that life is so important that we don't give up our life when not asked to, meaning that when it's a case that they don't have to in terms of the three cardinal sins, then there's no reason to be makpid or machmir la mitzvot, but there actually have to be machmir la life and b'chai b'hem to ensure that the life is saved in these situations. Okay, we'll stop over here.